Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Welcome on into First Take, a dreary Sunday morning as we get ready for the Saints kicking off against the Atlanta Falcons.
What are you talking about? I'm downright chipper.
The weather outside, at least, Jeff.
Yeah, that's true.
I think a little bit of sadness from last night in Baton Rouge carrying over to today in New Orleans with the weather. Hopefully the black and gold don't suffer the same fate as the purple and gold did last night against Alabama.
I mean, the only thing that matters to me is there's a tiger on the sideline, right? That's the most important thing that we should be worried about in this state, right? Now is there was a tiger.
I'm seeing hashtag blame Omar out there for crying out loud.
No, it's not the tiger's fault. The tiger is just a product of we don't need to get into it.
No politics here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Let's talk about the Saints.
This team, obviously, big deal this week. You started it out with firing of a head coach. The next day, you deal away the top piece on your defensive side.
Yep.
And now you've got an interim head coach and Darren Rizzi running the show, going into a matchup against your hated rival, the Atlanta Falcons, who just so happen to be leading the NFC South. A big positive, I think, that fans can look forward to going into this game is obviously the rivalry game. You got to at least beat your most hated team in the NFC South in the Dirty Birds. But you also have something where you can see some history today, obviously, with the black and gold and stud Alvin Kamara about to break the team's all-time leading rushing mark.
Yeah, it would be nice if that conversation could be had in a positive way after the game. The nice thing is he's like 11 yards, 12 yards away, so it'll happen in the first half before, if this game gets away from you, it'll have gotten away from you. So yeah. I bet they'll kind of pause for a few seconds and recognize it on the boards. And, I hope the Saints get the ball first. That's like the first thing that happens. And if it goes the way the last couple of games has, it'll happen on the first play. Because the last two games, his first play of the day was like a 20-yard run and a 23-yard run.
Right.
So we could get this out of the way early. And that would be
first
nice.
Touch.
That would be nice because, like, but, you know, before anything potentially negative happens in the game, we have to talk about it. We just get that, you know. And I think Alvin's probably in his heart of hearts very glad that he didn't do it in Carolina in that kind of awfulness. But
celebrate it at home against your rival.
Yeah, and I don't think I think he'll feel a lot better about it if it comes in a win, and I think everyone will feel a lot better about it if it comes in a win. But that's kind of where you're at, right? And you know, there's been kind of a vibe shift. Alvin was named a captain by the team this weekend, which...
Raise your hand if you knew he wasn't.
Yeah, you would assume he was, but those are team-voted positions, right?
So you can't start blaming DA on this one.
Yeah, we'll ask Darren about it after the game. I imagine this was a Darren Rizzi decision. I would expect it's just like, you know, part of the job team captains have is like relaying the vibes of the team to the coach. And like DA talked about you know, he has monthly dinners with the captains, and that's part of the conversation is like, okay, I can't be in every single meeting room with all of you guys. I need you to give me that insight.
Yeah.
And Alvin, I think, is just a valuable resource, and I think Darren at this point, Riz, wants every amount of every detail that he can get as he tries to put the thing back in the right direction, because he's changing a lot. That's what we talked about this week is, you know, I think Darren kind of looked around and said, anything that's being done that we don't have a good reason for doing it the way we do, and it's just, hey, we do it this way because we do it this way, he's going to change it. He's going to make guys feel a little uncomfortable. He's going to make guys aware of the fact that things have changed. And I asked Derek about, you know, hey, does changing sides of the field at practice, because that's one of the things Darren did, is he had the offense and defense switch sides of the field, and he joked that they've been doing it that way since Bobby Hebert was quarterback.
Hey-o.
And I asked Derek if that actually matters, and he kind of said, like, yeah, it does, because you kind of get in this feeling of Groundhog Day over the course of time where you're doing the same thing every day. You're stepping on the same patch of grass at the exact same time every Wednesday. And especially when things are going bad. When things are going good, yeah, keep doing the same thing, right?
Right.
Keep building on that, because that process works. When you've lost seven games in a row, you don't want to keep doing the same thing. You got to kind of, you know, why are you in a rut? Because you keep walking in the same circle over and over again until the ground goes away beneath you and you can't get out of it. Eventually, you've just got to step out of that rut and walk on a different line and create a different rut.
I love that Rizzy mentioned the fact of the Dunkin' Donuts commercial of the guy waking up in the morning and make the donuts. A commercial I'm pretty sure was down here as well, but I know, obviously, being a New Jersey guy like the Riz, that was something that I remember growing up. And remember just the Dunkin' Donuts guy, and it was like this mundane task of, oh, gotta wake up again in the morning, time to make the donuts.
Well, I mean, when I moved down here, I was like, where are all the Dunkin' Donuts? Like,
oh, that's right, you're a Northeast guy, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, in my hometown, I could count, like, 50 of them. With it. Like, there's, like, every square mile, there's a Dunkin' Donuts with a drive-thru. I'm like, sure. Oh, I guess I'll get another coffee, right? I think the rule was, like, if you bought a franchise Dunkin' Donuts, you had to buy three either way.
It's kind of like Starbucks.
Yeah, but no, but you know, I think even just that is an example of, like, Darren relates to people, he relates to players. I think that there's a personality there that is very helpful in these trying times. and so we'll see. I hope that brings some energy, and I don't know if that energy is going to last for the course of this season. You know, a lot of times you'll see an interim coach take over and suddenly, hey, this is a different ball club. This is a brand new team. You look at what happened with the Raiders last year. Brandon Staley gets fired. Antonio Pierce takes over, and that team really bonds together and wins a few games. If you go back to a staff Darren Rizzi was a part of out in Miami in 2015, Dan Campbell takes over for Joe Philbin. That happened in week four. That happened early in the season. They're 1-3. Dan Campbell takes over, they immediately win their next two games, right? So there is – now they lost like seven of the last 10 games. So it's not all good.
Right.
But there is kind of that idea of, hey, you change coaches. There should be this kind of groundswell of community within that room, within that team, because it's like, hey, we're all still together. We got to fix this. And so we'll see. And you know, there's going to be a lot of conversation as the season goes on, if it goes well, of, hey, does Darren have a legitimate job to retain this job? And we've seen that in Louisiana before, right? We saw it with Ed Ogeron. And he did enough in that stint, taking over for Les Miles. Foster Morrow was on that team. He could tell you a lot about it.
Right.
To retain that job, and it went well until it didn't. But you went and won a national championship with Ed. So
not too bad, right? You'll take that.
And Ed's kind of a similar guy in the sense of, like, he was never an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. He was a vibes guy. And I don't say that negatively. I say that in the sense of, like,
recruiting guy, right?
Yeah, like, you're bringing the team together. Your job as a head coach isn't always to call the plays. It's not always to coordinate a defense, design a defense. It's to make sure that you have the right people in the right places doing their jobs well. And when you can do that, things go really well. When things start to fall off and it's like, well, I can't fix anything specifically, then it becomes kind of problematic. But, you know, I'm hopeful that you're going to see kind of a renewed vigor with Joe Woods leading the defense, with Clint Kubiak still kind of doing his thing. You know, you have Brian Young leading the pass rush now. They moved Todd Grantham into an advisory role to help out Joe Woods. You know, I think if nothing else happens this season, but you get kind of a energy boost this week and beat the Falcons, I still think people will look at Darren as being like a savior in that in that idea. So we'll see. I think the first thing you need to do is end a losing streak before you can think about anything after it. And hopefully that happens today.
You were talking about, obviously, a lot of the changes that Rizzi has made, one of those being the locker room, getting the position groups all together. He talked about why he decided to change that layout in the Saints locker room.
I just felt like, you know, we had guys spread out all over the place.
And here I am trying to preach, you know, bonding together, circling the wagons. And here, you know, we got guys kind of spread out. So I just thought it was a good little change of pace to break it up by position. Very, very well received. There's some guys who've been in their locker for quite a long time, so that got a little uncomfortable. But listen, we got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, you know. And so that's where we're at. We're in an uncomfortable position. And so, you know, I thought it was really good. Like I said, really well received. The guys really loved it, being kind of with their position groups. You know, the O-line comes out of a meeting, and then they can go into the locker room, and they're all there together. They're not spread out all over the place, and they can communicate and talk about, you know, what they just installed. And that's just an example. It's just one example of many. And so just thought it was a good change of pace.
You mentioned that difference, too, of practice. You walk out there, and all of a sudden, it's flipped. The defense was on the near end, and the offense was put on the far end where the media is, and Rizzi mentioned about flipping that at practice.
Just a little cosmetic change that want things to feel a little bit different. I think the offense has been on the far end since Bobby Hebert was playing quarterback here. So we just switched it up a little bit, and I tricked some guys, and I had no idea it was coming. And all of a sudden, we had the individual group set up, so I was joking around with that. But again, just a different feel, different vibe. Here we are in the second half of the year. We had a little major change at the top, and just want to feel a little different for everybody, and want to keep everybody kind of on their toes and antenna up. And that was the thought process behind it, and with a lot of the things we're doing.
Just need that change, and I think that anywhere, like you mentioned, Rizzi could implement something to just be different going into this week. He did it.
Yeah, I think it kind of just underscored just how many things were still being done a certain way because Sean did them that way.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily even blame DA for that. I think it really goes back to the biggest mistake that this team made, which was the idea that trying to just continue the Sean Payton era was possible. And trying to just establish continuity so that you could keep that run going. It just, like, in hindsight, and I don't even blame them for doing it, in hindsight, it just never really got off the ground. And you saw, like, the result of that, especially this season, when things really kind of went off the rails and you couldn't put them back on. But there's a lot more things than just that, and we don't even know all the things he changed. There's been a lot of scheduling changes, how they operate within the building. I think there's going to be more meetings in general with larger groups. One thing Darren asked the players to do is basically every day in the team meeting, sit next to somebody else. You get kind of a different perspective, you're just looking at things a different way. It's funny because it's like, you think if they go out here and lose by 40, you all be joking like, oh, well, good thing they changed the locker room around and good thing they moved, you know. But at the same time, at least there's a, you know, it's, I think the word Alvin Kamara would use is intentional. It's all intentional. It's done with an idea in mind of, like, this is what we're going for, and this is what we need everyone to be on the same page. They've also been running practice a little differently. Derek Carr said that it's the most plays he's run in any individual practice. Darren doesn't want guys on the ground. He doesn't want guys sitting off to the side on the coolers resting. Hopefully that all kind of coalesces into better football and more disciplined football. But I do appreciate that he's not just coming in and saying everything that, you know, we're doing things the right way. We're doing everything we need to be doing, and we're not getting the results. Hopefully, if we continue to do that, we'll get the results. He's saying we clearly aren't doing things the right way. When you're not getting the results, you have to find ways to manufacture those results. And I think that's what became so frustrating over the course of the 7-game losing streak, is not hearing about changes, hearing about we're focused on the process, and we're, like, the process is sound, and it's all about
chopping wood.
Yeah, and so and that might not lead to better results, but at least you can look at it and say, hey, we tried something.
One thing that is different that we don't get to, the media doesn't get to see, is this new activation period before practice gets underway.
Yeah.
And I know you asked Rizzi to explain what that exactly is, that period before practice.
Imagine you're going to work out, and you shouldn't just go to the weight room and start lifting weights, right? Or you're going to go and you're going to go run go jogging for the layperson. I don't do a lot of jogging, unfortunately, but I need to. But you know, you shouldn't just go out there and just start lifting weights, or just go pick up a basketball and just start playing basketball. That's how you tear your Achilles, or that's how you get hurt, right? So the activation is more of a sports science thing. We take those guys through an activation period so that when practice starts, they're actually already, you know, sweating, and they're already, you know, have already gone through and warm. It's an activation is a fancy name for a warm up. When I was growing up, we were in warm up. Now it's activation, you know. So, but they go through an activation period, and let the sports science guys and the strength staff kind of decide what's the best way to get those guys activated. But, you know, it used to be something that was kind of voluntary, and then we did our stretch period. We made it a mandatory thing here just to try to change it up a little bit.
We'll get into the injuries, but yeah, with a lot of the soft tissue issues with this squad, it kind of makes a ton of sense that you're having a warm-up before you actually get out there and start doing any real football activities.
Yeah, and I mean, that is backed up by sports science. Like, generally speaking, you're supposed to do dynamic stretching prior to activity, static stretching after activity. That's kind of just a baseline of idea of like, hey, this is how you prevent injuries. And, you know, I appreciate that they're being a little more proactive with it. Clearly didn't work for Jamal Williams, who re-aggravated his groin injury in practice, but, you know, it's not going to eliminate injuries. Again, it's just, hey, let's try something different. Let's do something different. To DA's credit, this is something that they were talking about last week before he was fired.
Right, it wasn't just implemented.
It wasn't like Darren showed up on Monday morning and was like, guys, we are doing this now. Like, that was already – it was going to happen either way. But I think it was Darren's suggestion. And that's where you're going to see a lot. You know, one thing that Darren was involved with a lot of – he was the assistant head coach. He was involved a lot with the game planning stuff. But DA had the final call. And one interesting thing that Darren said when he was on with us this week is, like, he was asked about that 4th-and-1 call near midfield where he punted. And he basically was like, I didn't like the call. I thought it was the wrong call, like going up there and trying to force him off sides and then taking the delay game and punting it. He was like, I would have gone for it. I would have called a timeout and made sure I had the perfect play that I wanted and gone for it because the analytics are on your side there. And I think there's a lot of things throughout the course of the week, throughout that game, throughout decision-making, where Darren might do it differently. And there's going to be things that Joe Woods is going to do differently than DA would have done differently. So, you know, different isn't always better. You know, maybe those were the wrong decisions. I don't know.
We'll find out soon enough.
I would have gone. Right. But I do think you're going to see this Saints team under Joe Woods, under Darren Rizzi, in this new kind of format, be a little bit more aggressive and be a little bit more kind of caution to the winds than DA, who I think was always kind of ingrained. I'm a defensive guy. I'm going to play it safe in a lot of situations and rely on my defense to go win me a game. I think Darren's going to err a little more to the other side.
Here on First Take, getting ready for the Saints' noon start against the Atlanta Falcons, who are leading the NFC South. Big rivalry game for the black and gold. Also a big day for Alvin Kamara. Just needs 11 yards to tie the all-time record for rushing yards in this franchise. 12 to break it, surpassing his good buddy Mark Ingram. We'll hear from AK. We'll hear from Ingram. Also, Derek Carr, Alante Taylor, Blake Groupie coming back with more First Take after the break. So stay tuned here on WWL. Welcome back into First Take. Good morning, everybody. Saints game day as we get ready for the Dirty Birds. Atlanta Falcons 6-3 taking on the Saints 2-7, have dropped 7 in a row since back-to-back wins to start the season seems oh so long ago. And also, we kind of joked about it, Jeff. Seems oh so long ago we were back in this Superdome. Been a while, you know, considering the Thursday game and then going into last week on the road as well. And back here, it just seems like, you know, almost like a month. And it might be around that we've been in the Superdome.
Yeah, more than 2 weeks. And, you know, anytime you have a coaching change in between in between home games, it feels like, man, what a weird thing. I am curious to see how this crowd reacts to it, because I do think that, you know, one of the big points of frustration was Dennis Allen and,
sure,
and the fact that things weren't going well, and a lot of people wanted change. They got change. Will that satisfy? How far will that go?
I don't know. Just win, baby. Right.
Yeah.
Looking at right now, LCMC Health Update, LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. That brings us to the Saints injury rundown for this matchup in Week 10. Out for this game, Jeff, we know Cedric Wilson Jr., Kool-Aid McKinstry, Chris Olave, Lucas Patrick, and I believe Eric McCoy, who is doubtful, was downgraded to out. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Listed as questionable for the game, JT Gray, Rico Payton, Jamal Williams, John Ridgeway, Will Harris, Shane Lemieux, and Nephi Sewell going into the matchup. And also some roster elevations for the team. Defensive back Will Harris and guard center Shane Lemieux are activated from injured reserve. They placed receiver Chris Olave and IR and have elevated wide receivers Kevin Austin Jr. and Dante Pettis to the active roster for this matchup against the Falcons. So, obviously, the team needs help at wide receiver right now with guys down in Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave. And we're just worried about not just this game for Olave, but his future, not just this season, even too, going forward as a whole.
Yeah, Nephi Sewell was also downgraded to out. Just to add that. No, one of the interesting things the Saints did this week was, you know, they didn't elevate Equanimeous St. Brown, a guy who I believe had one more potential elevation they could have gone with. He's been elevated each of the last 2 weeks. They decided instead to go with Kevin Austin Jr. Right. And Dante Pettis. So we'll see if, you know, maybe they have a bigger involvement in the passing game. Because yeah, it's a bear covered there at wide receiver. You got
his number, your wide receiver, your ex receiver right now,
Mason Tipton.
I was gonna say Scantling. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but you know the entire Saints wide receiver room that they'll be sending out there has combined for 15 catches and 104 yards on the season as a whole. And I did that from memory because it's such an easy number to remember because it's not very big. And 14 of those catches for 99 yards have been to Mason Tipton. I don't know if I even remember any of those catches. They weren't in big moments. You know, I think he has 26 targets, and those missed opportunities are more impactful.
I was going to say, I definitely remember that more.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's definitely not something that you look at as a strength in this matchup. You know, I actually like Kevin Austin Jr. I think he had a strong camp, and they kept him around for a reason. He's a bigger guy, so I think that he could be an option over the middle of the field in ways that a guy like Dante Pettis really isn't going to do for you. Mason Tipton isn't really going to do for you. And you have Jermaine Jackson, a slight-of-frame guy. Right? And then you have Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who he's a bigger guy, but he's more of a speed guy. He just showed up 2 weeks ago. He's going to be your down-the-field option. But he's not a guy I'm going to throw to over the middle of the field either. So, you know, I think that's kind of the idea with Kevin Austin. If you get him involved, is he can be kind of that bigger receiver that you just don't have otherwise. This has got to be a day for Juwan Johnson. Like, he's got to be a heavily involved player. You got to go get him the ball. And obviously, Alvin Kamara is going to be heavily involved, too.
Right.
But
Taysom's an Atlanta killer.
Taysom is an Atlanta killer. I'm starting him in both of my fantasy leagues
today. There you go,
right. Because I don't know how you're going to do anything but use Taysom Hill. But this is the game he got hurt in week four. So you got to be careful there, too, because you want him to make it to the end. But no, wide receiver. You know, I jokingly go back to the 2021 season a lot when you're talking about the wide receiver room, because that's one of the least intimidating wide receiver rooms I've ever seen, with Marquez Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith, Dante Hardy as kind of your top three guys. You're back there. That's where you are right now. And you know, in a game where you're like, hey, can we end the skid? Usually you'd say, hey, yeah, you bring in an interim head coach, you're going to get a lot of positivity like we talked about.
A nice bump, right.
At a certain point, you just don't have the firepower. And I think if you can't keep this game low scoring, I just don't see a scenario where you win it with that array of receivers. Because, like, you saw, like, that's the thing. When you got the ball back against the Panthers, and you're like, hey, all we need to do is drive in a field goal range. And it was like, yeah, but who are you throwing to?
Right.
Who are you throwing to in that situation? Who's your star? Who's your go-to option? And they completed one pass to Juwan Johnson. You got to midfield, and then there was nobody else. Cedric Wilson is not out here this week. He's dealing with a shoulder injury, and he was dealing with a shoulder injury in that game. I was surprised he went back to it. He left midway through to get x-rays on his shoulder, came back. Clearly, it's something that's still bothering him, considering he's not out here. So, yeah, if you get into a situation where you got to throw the ball, I don't know if it's going to go well for you.
I think you brought it up, too, and I looking back over at that play where obviously everyone was so crucial on that fourth down, and it was the jump ball to Cedric Wilson Jr. It was actually not a bad ball by Derek Carr.
No, it was a solid throw. He could have caught that.
Right.
And the thing is, like, you get one of the reasons I was frustrated with that decision was not necessarily what he did. It was the fact that it's like KYP, right? I think Antonio Daniels says this on the Pelicans broadcast. Know your personnel. Right? Like, you're not throwing a Chris Olave on that ball. Like, that doesn't – it's not that dissimilar to some of the decisions Derek made in his first season against the Titans. He went deep down the field to Rashid Shaheed in a situation like that. Against the Panthers in week two last year, he went down the field to Rashid Shaheed in a situation like that. Like, it's not a terrible idea, but you're throwing to Cedric Wilson and not Chris Olave. So that's got to factor in. You can't just pick your matchup and say, well, he's my number one receiver. Like, yeah, well, it's different than it was at the beginning of the game. So we'll see, but – you mentioned it going in, you know, Chris Olave on injured reserve. I think that was predictable. I don't think anyone should be surprised that he landed on injured reserve.
There was a rough hit. Who the guy on the Panthers
got fined,
was fined,
Xavier
right?
Woods got fined. He should,
15
that
grand,
was,
I think?
16, something in that range. But, yeah, I mean, you can't – you know, the whole bad ball thing, like, yeah, it was a bad ball, but it's like if you got guys going for the heads of players who do not have the ball
like
in their hands.
Like a torpedo, right.
Like, yeah, the people are going to get hurt. I don't care what the throw is. That could have been a perfect throw. If he's going to go at somebody's head, you're going to get hurt. And Darren Rizzi was asked about that, and if he thought that should have merited an ejection.
No comment.
He had a very veteran head coach response, which is, I'm not going to answer that because it's not going to go down a good road, which is kind of an answer for you on its own. Like, either way, Chris has had two concussions in the span of a month. He's had four concussions since he arrived in the NFL. One was in his rookie season against the Seahawks. One was in his second season against the Falcons. One was this season against the Broncos. That was the game Spencer Rattler started. And the most recent one was that game. And then he was checked for a concussion against the Chargers, too. And after a big hit, he got cleared and came back in.
Right.
But he also had a concussion at Ohio State. And so he's at the point now where you genuinely have to look at it and say, are these concussions going to shorten his career? The same way Tua Tagovailoa has to answer those questions in Miami. And when he comes back, I think he should probably wear a Guardian cap, you know, just like Tua should be in Miami. But
I know we talked about this, too, in that situation, though, with that hit that Olave took. I don't even know if a Guardian cap was saving him in that situation.
No, I don't think so either. But either way, it's like you got to – but, like, the hit – you know, both of his concussions this year, it's not like they've come when, like, his head hit in the ground. They've come with head-to-head collisions with defenders.
Right.
And the frustrating thing is the first one didn't even merit a penalty. But either way, you know, for Chris, it's about more than football right now, and I think that's where the Saints are being smart, and Darren talked about this. It's like we're not even talking about football right now. We're talking about Chris and what's best for Chris, and that's the only way you can approach the situation.
We talked about the Saints' injuries, big one for the Falcons. Drake London is questionable in this game, but is still expected to play with a hip issue. Looking at the Saints' secondary, though, we're not going to have Marshawn Lattimore out there this game. He's out in Washington after the Saints completed a trade with
the
Commanders.
No. He's not playing.
He is not playing.
So I think that's – I'm not saying I'm happy about him not playing. But
he's not miraculously healed from his
hamstring
issue.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of frustrating for Saints fans if suddenly he's out there like playing 100% of the snaps, right? So that's not happening, so we can at least put that to bed.
Looking at things, though, with no Marshawn, no Paulson, Adebo, obviously Kool-Aid McKinstry down. Who the heck did this team also have in the cornerback room in the secondary dealing with some issues there? Well, the main man, Alante Taylor, and he was asked about the trade of Lattimore and being back now at outside corner.
You know, he taught me so much, man. That's always going to be big, bro. As soon as I heard the news, he was the first person I called, and we talked a little bit. But, you know, I take this position and this situation with gratitude. I'm grateful for it. And, you know, I got the next 8 weeks to kind of prove that, you know, I can be that CB1 for this team. I don't know what the long-term plans are, but I know for the short-term plans, this is where I'm at. And so, you know, I'm going to go out there and dominate and hold my end of my side of the field down.
Hearing from Taylor, obviously wants to go out there, dominate. And he was also asked about that excitement about the possibility of moving from slot to the outside now on a permanent basis.
A lot, man. You know, I've always said it since I walked in the building and I'm a corner. You know, I can play the nickel and I kind of see things, right? It's like, oh, well, Alante is a slot corner. It's like, well, before it was, he's a corner. Why are we moving him to nickel? Now I do, you know, decently well at nickel. Now I'm a nickel. But at the end of the day, man, I'm a corner at heart. And so, you know, super excited for the opportunity. And, you know, these next 8 weeks, we play some pretty good teams. They got good receivers. And my covering ability and all those things will be tested. And I'm looking forward to it.
I think Alante Taylor is a great example for obviously any player, but also like the young kids out there. You see someone that was asked to move to that slot position, wasn't exactly what he had in mind, didn't really feel like that was where he was the most comfortable, but it's what the coaches intended. It's what he wanted to do to get on the field as well. And now, you know, that hard work and the willingness to be, I guess you would say, what's the
flexible
word? Flexible,
adjustable,
right. Yeah, and not being, you know, a toot about it, right? You're not starting to whine about things, and I'm an outside corner.
Yeah.
Did his role, what he was asked to do, and now in the end, he gets to be where he wants and excited to see where he goes now going forward in this role because I think, obviously, it's pretty clear Alante's the future outside.
Right, well, I think you got to figure that out, right? That's what this 8 weeks is about, in my opinion. And like, yeah, you're trying to win games, right? But first and foremost, you need to figure out what you have, and we got the NFL on Fox robots wandering through here right now. I've always wondered what they looked like in person. Now I know.
Transformers.
Robots not very well disguised. But You know, like a big part of this last 8 weeks has got to be, okay, figure out what you have in some of these young players. And on Alante Taylor outside, like a lot of people, I had at least three or four people ask me, hey, do you think Alante is going to stay outside? I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, what's the benefit to moving him to the nickel now?
Right.
Other than, like, yeah, maybe he's your best nickel corner. But the thing is, why is he at nickel in the first place? It's not because you thought he was your best option. It's because he's your third best corner and you wanted to find a way to get him on the field. Remember, you cut Bradley Roby
right.
to get him on the field. It was
great
not
point,
like,
yeah.
you know, he was not even practicing at nickel throughout the course of camp. He was competing with Adebo on the outside in his camp last year. And I do think that was probably a source of frustration there, whether Alante verbalized it or not, in terms of, like, I am an outside corner. I'm not better at the nickel than I am outside, but I'm doing it, and I'm committing to it. And late in the season, there was definitely some frustration. He was benched in two of his last three games.
Sure.
That said, you appreciate how he came into this camp. You appreciate the work he did and the willingness to commit to that position. And he got a lot better at it. Like, he's been really solid in the nickel throughout the course of this season. He's been one of the NFL's better players at disrupting plays and being in the backfield and breaking up passes and making tackles. And I still don't think he's the best – I don't think he's built for the nickel. That said, he learned how to play it, and he's played it well. And I think over the course of his career, that's going to benefit him financially, right?
Yeah, you
when you're
bet,
a guy
right.
who can play the nickel, especially later in your career, when you get into, like, year 8, 9, 10, and maybe they're like, yeah, we got better options on the outside, the ability to just kick in and play nickel is going to extend his career 3-4 years down the line. Look at a Chris Harris, right? Like, a guy that's going to – that got keep getting jobs because he could play that role. So, you know, I like that about him. I think he's going to look back and say, I'm better for that. That said – he is your best outside corner, so you play him outside. And I think he has a chance to be a really, really good outside corner. I thought he played really well against the Panthers at a position he has not been practicing at. And that said, it's the Panthers, right? You know, you don't want to overreact to anything about with a passing game with Bryce Young. Who
don't worry, despite, we're not overreacting to anything this season.
So now you look at it and say, okay, what can you do in this matchup? And you're going to look at it next week and say, what can you do in that matchup? And I think that's going to determine, and hopefully you get Kool-Aid back at some point in the near future, and you can kind of ride with them on the outside and say, hey, is this our cornerback tandem of the future? Are these the two guys that we can rely on, or do we have to be looking at corner high in the next draft and building
probably.
Up that again? And even if they feel like they're good, feel good about those two guys, they probably do anyway. But even for Alante, he's a second-round pick, remember, so there's no fifth-year option with him. So I think this 8 games is going to go a long way in determining, do we try to extend him before the start of next season? And if I'm Alante, I'm looking at the guy who is next to me in the locker room and saying, well, I just saw what can happen if you don't have that security of that long-term deal and Paulson Adebo going to that contract year, and that can change a lot in a hurry. So if I'm Alante, I probably am willing to play ball inside an extension. So it's really a question of whether you think that makes sense, and that's what you need to figure out if you're the Saints over this next 8 games. Is he that cornerstone cornerback that you can build around? I think he is, and I'm excited to see what he does.
As we head to break, Jeff, what do you think the Saints end up doing today with that depth at corner position alongside Alante on the outside? Is it going to be Rico if he can play, or Shamar John Charles?
It's tough to say. Rico Payton should be out there. I think he would have gotten the start last week if he was healthy, so I would expect it to be Rico.
Is he a back injury?
He had a back injury,
okay, yeah.
He had a back issue, but he was close to playing. And I think the fact that they were even willing to ride it out till Sunday tells you a lot about how they feel about him. Like, he's a UDFA, and you were looking at him as being your starting outside corner probably. So I would expect it to be him. I would expect Ugo Amadi to stick in the slot.
Right.
But, you know, it could just as easily be Shamar. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they switch some things up and do some sub packages with both of those guys. Shamar had the interception. You really like what he did on that play. I don't think he had a great game otherwise. He was serviceable. He went into a difficult spot, and I think he played reasonably well. But I think they really like Rico, and they want to see what he has.
Going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out. Wide receiver and corner, huge question for this team due to injuries. We're here on First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Taking a break. We'll be right back after with more. Give us a call on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. Let us hear what you're up to this game day, heading into a matchup against those Dirty Birds right here on WWL. Back here on First Take inside the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for that noon kickoff coming up on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Also, 10 a.m., the Cajun Cannon will be joining us for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. Get his take, a unique perspective, obviously, since he's played for both teams with the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints, and big matchup today. I know a lot of fans are kind of cashed in and they're just focusing on the Saints improving their draft stock at this point, but if there is one game that you got to win on the remaining part of this schedule. A matchup against your most hated rival, the Atlanta Falcons, in your Caesar Superdome after losing to them already earlier this year. It's kind of your – you've been in must-win game situation, but I can think that the fans would be on board of coming away with the victory today too, because Monday would be a lot better saying, hey, at least we beat the Falcons.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think – you know, 2-7 is a bummer. And I, you know, my wife Claire asked me, I was like, hey, wouldn't it be better if the Saints lost? As an analyst, shouldn't you be like talking about, hey, you know, the Saints want the best draft pick possible, so the best case scenario is they lose their final eight games? And
sure.
I understand why,
right,
in a vacuum you would say that. But at the end of the day, sports is about entertainment. And I grew up in Connecticut. I watched a lot of Giants seasons that went exactly like this, right?
Jerseys, you know, they
had two Super Bowl seasons, but around those Super Bowl seasons was abject misery at all times. And, you know, I kind of, like, there were seasons where I was like, hey, it's week 12 and you're basically out of it. And like, okay, but I still want to watch a team win. I still want to watch a team go out there and give me hope that, hey, you know, things haven't gone well this season, but you're building. And there are reasons to keep going to the games, right? And so that's kind of where I think most fans in the middle of the week, where you're like, oh, we're tied for the worst record in the NFL, we'll make it the number one pick. You sit in the seat at a game, you're not rooting for a draft pick. You are rooting for your team, and you're rooting for that team to go out there and do something that's worth cheering for. You can get on Twitter after the game and start hashing it out with Falcons fans who are suddenly very sad. There's nothing more satisfying in the losing season.
We might stink, but what did it say
yeah,
about you?
Yeah, but hey, we still beat
you. Look
at you. We still beat you guys. Even in that season a few years back, it was like, you know, you didn't make the playoffs, but you beat the Falcons in Week 18, and it felt good. And last year obviously should have felt better than it did with the whole, you know, victory formation.
That was talked about too, honestly, when Dennis Allen.
It was.
You know,
it was. But at the end of the day, it's like, hey, we beat the Falcons in that game. I'm not gonna be mad about anything. You know, obviously you want to make the playoffs, but I think that's the case today. Like, draft picks, worry about those later. Go win a game. And I don't think if the Saints go out and beat the Falcons today, anyone's going to be like, oh, man, but that ruins our draft stock. And if you are, reassess your priorities.
And you know what? Like you mentioned, I get it. That's how fans are going to think. And I think most people have that way of thinking. It's like right now you're just hurting your draft capital. The spots you're going to end up moving down further instead of maximizing it. But as a team, as a franchise, you can't start instilling a losing culture. Like, hey, we're going into this game, we don't care about it. In the end, we're just hoping that we don't get hurt and come away with the loss to just better improve our draft stock. That's not going to instill anybody to have inspiring football down the line, and it's just not right. Like good old Herm Edwards said, another
you play to win the game.
New Jersey reference there with the Jets. You play to win the game. We're going to break right here on First Take. We're playing to take the break, running a little long on Cullen. Sorry, we'll take a break, be back with more as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off. Coming up at 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon and Game Time. High Noon with Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas on the call, and Jeff on the sideline on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Be right back after this. Back here on First Take as we close out the 8 o'clock hour, getting ready for 10 a.m. in the Bud Light Countdown to kick off with the Cajun Cannon joining us leading up to Game Time in the Caesar Superdome at High Noon between New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons, an NFC South matchup. Also in the NFC South in the division going on right now, we got the Carolina Panthers taking on the New York Giants in Munich. They are treated to a heck of a game out there now.
I was thinking this morning, hey, what did Germany ever do to deserve this? And thought better of it.
Yeah.
I think we all know.
Panthers up 7-0 right now. Bryce Young, 4-for-5 passing, 43 yards and a touchdown. Completed it to Javonte Sanders, a rookie tight end.
Jatavion
on Javonte.
We've been having this conversation.
I've been bombing on his draft stock and his name. Jeez. But the Carolina Panthers up on the New York Giants early, and I know the question mark with this G-Men squad, too, is how bad are they going to finish and end
bad.
Up in the draft?
They're going to be bad.
Going to be getting into more of this matchup between Saints and Falcons coming back after the break. Time for news now on WWL. Be back right after.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
After this.
Two tight ends, I formation, Morrow. Hand off Alvin Kamara. He gets pushed into the end zone by Adam Prentice. Alvin Kamara, touchdown, New Orleans.
Woo! That is boss fullback lead, and that is all Alvin Kamara.
Hope to hear more of that today from Mike Hawes and Deuce McAllister.
I didn't even realize that when I heard it live. You really leaned into the New Orleans there.
That was the last time the Saints played the Falcons. Yeah. And a big day for AK, big day against the Falcons, obviously. Welcome back into First Take as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff, which will be coming up at 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We are here in the loge level of the Caesars Superdome.
It's quite loge.
Gate B, you can stop by, say hey, as we get ready for this game against the Falcons. And Kamara is going to be talked about a lot today, obviously going to be taking over a historic position with the franchise as the all-time leading rusher for the black and gold. AK talked about that, about taking this title away, too, from his good buddy, Mark Ingram.
It's definitely a full circle moment because, you know, I came in young buck, and, you know, he kind of gave everything to me, just poured into me, and, you know, helped me kind of become the running back I am right now, like the player I am, the pro I am, because, you know, that was my example. Thank God he was in my room, you know what I'm saying? I had an example right there, right next to me to kind of guide me and show me the way.
Obviously, Mark Ingram took that title away from our very own Deuce McAllister. And Ingram was asked, what's it like having AK becoming the Saints' leading rusher, taking it away from Ingram?
He timed it great, man. He'll be able to break the record at home in front of the Saints faithful, and he'll be able to do it against our hated rivals who we don't really like that much. So I think he timed it perfectly, and just what he's been able to accomplish throughout his career, how he's grown as a man, as a player, as a leader. I'm just super happy for him. I'm just surprised it took him this long to do it.
I love how Ingram joked, too, he was saying, he's like, you know, records meant to be broken. Obviously, that is the case. And it helps when you see a good buddy like that. These two were cutting up in the locker room all the time and even on the field during their run. And just a full circle moment, like Alvin mentioned, for him to be taking that title now away from a guy who was his mentor.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because I don't even know if Alvin was actually aware of the record in
last week.
Yeah, when he was like 11 yards from breaking it or 12 yards from breaking it. Because he said Mark texted him after the game and he was sitting on the bus. Like, what is he even talking about? So, like, it would have been funny if he broke it last week and was, like, surprised by it. because and that's the thing. No one's going into that game talking about the record because he needed 167 rushing yards. He's not getting that. Well, man, if they got a first down there, right? If they got another first down, who knows? Maybe he does get it. So, you know, I think and if that record had come in a win, I don't think he would have complained about it. But you wouldn't have been able to celebrate it the way they're going to be able to celebrate it today. So I'm sure the Superdome ops folks have something planned. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do because, again, he's going to get there. It's just a question of exactly when.
11 to tie at 12 to break the record.
But no, it's a good feeling to know that the, you know, and no disrespect to Deuce, no disrespect to Mark, you know, in my opinion, the best running back in Saints history is going to have the rushing record. Just because the things Alvin has been able to do are remarkable.
All around, right.
You know, and you look at all of the records he has, and this is just kind of another one on that pile. He's never had a 1,000-yard rushing season, which is kind of insane. And he looks like he's on track to get that this year based on his numbers. And, you know, we talked going into the year, like, hey, is he falling off? Is he reached that ledge where
right.
suddenly – and I don't think we've seen that. I mean, he had 155 rushing yards last week. He had 200-and-something total yards. Like, he's still playing at an incredibly high level, and the only failure is everything else around him that hasn't gone
the
well big enough.
The biggest surprise going into this week, we kind of talked about it last hour, is the fact that he was not a captain on this team, and that's not a coach's decision, folks. That is voted on by the players. Just a little odd that it seems AK wasn't part of the captain's group, and luckily now he has been named the captain. Obviously, a big game for him, big game for the black and gold. They need some kind of spark, so appreciate them at least giving him that title because we know what a leader he is in that locker room.
Yeah, and he's really leaned into to this kind of change and reestablishing, you know, the vibes, the good vibes in that locker room that seemed to have gone away a little bit. Like, there was just some negativity and that was hard to overcome, I think, when you're losing that many games. And, you know, just kind of when you break the tension the way they were able to this week, I think it's really easy for everyone to just kind of recommit to that vibe and recommit to the work and recommit to everybody else in that room. And AK is a big part of that. He's kind of he's the line leader, if you will. Like, everyone looks to him as an example in that room. And one of the reasons is because he's going to tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not.
Yeah.
And so, no, it's good. And I'm glad they re-signed him. I'm glad they extended him. I'm glad they got that worked out. Cause, you know, there's gotta be in a 2-7 season, there's not a ton that's going to get people excited to go in, get into their seats. And I hope you get into your seats early today because if you don't show up until like 3 minutes into the first quarter, you might miss that record moment. So, no, it's good for Alvin. It's exciting. I hope he gets a win to celebrate it with.
Yeah, and AK was asked how he would describe the energy now with this team, with the locker room, with Darren Rizzi brought in as the interim head coach.
Man, this night and day. I wouldn't be surprised if Rizzi came out with full pads on, trying to run drills and stuff with us. You know, he's just that type of dude, and it's organic. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the dudes feel it. And it makes the work day feel like work. You know, it's a good feeling.
He mentioned in that good feeling, which is hopefully permeating throughout that locker room, because I think it was Derek Carr might have mentioned that. They haven't had fun in a while. Maybe it was Tyrann Mathieu. Just trying to get back to having fun playing football, which obviously when you're losing, that's not the case. But it seems to have just been this constant slog. And you can feel that from the team, that everything's just been a chore.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the defense definitely feels culpable. They definitely feel responsible because this is, you know, they feel like they are the biggest reason that Dennis Allen got fired, right? Because I think they're right, because if the defense was still playing at a really high level and the offense was the reason you were losing games, I think you probably would have said, hey, you know, we have DA here to be the leader of the defense and obviously the leader of the team, but the defense is his baby. It's why he has the job in the first place. The fact that the defense was one of your biggest weaknesses is a big part of that. And Tyrann, I think it was Tyrann that said, like, you haven't been having fun for a long time. He said he hasn't felt like himself in, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, it's like, and Tyrann said this, and Tyrann's absolutely correct. You know, it's not anyone who watches the Saints should remember what it was like in like 2014, 2015, 2016. You know, the 7-9 years where you knew Drew Brees was still playing at a Hall of Fame level. But the defense was so ineffective and so bad.
Swiss cheese.
That you couldn't even win with Drew Brees. And DA showed up and changed that, right? And you can never take that away from him. And I think it'd be really easy to take these last 3 years and some of the frustrations and pretend that there was no good in what DA did. DA was the architect of one of the best defenses in Saints history over that stretch, over a stretch where you won more games than anyone in the NFL in a four-year span. And so, you know, I would encourage people to kind of remember that part of the tenure as well. Remember his role in the Super Bowl run.
Right.
And not just this really negative last few weeks.
Also remember, he was the interim head coach and ended up getting that 9-0 win against Tampa.
And here's the thing. If he didn't get that chance, I don't know. You know, that probably made a – I don't know how much of a difference that made in getting him the
big
job.
Big impression, though,
but
for
it definitely,
sure.
It definitely was a part of it. You know, like it definitely was a little audition. And that's what Riz is going to get. Riz is going to get this week and the rest of the season. He's going to Riz up 70,000 fans in the Superdome today. He's going to probably set a record for Rizzing up the most people at one time. But either way, you know, I think we had Scott Shanley on, and he talked about how, you know, you should look at Rizzi as a potential head coach for
right.
the future, and it shouldn't be just, hey, we're going to try to get to the end of this season and see if we can survive it. You know, I think. You should hope that if things turn around and you can really get people committed. Because here's the thing. Next year is not going to be that much better from a cap perspective. I think you still got to take your medicine a little bit from a cap perspective to the point that I don't think that it's really feasible to move on from Derek Carr, even if you want him to. And I'm curious how the fans react to Derek Carr now that DA is gone, because I think a lot of the frustration levied toward Derek was a byproduct of them viewing him and DA as a package deal.
Right, that's his guy.
And I think if we separate those two, I'd like to see if maybe there's some more reasonable discourse around Derek, but I don't have much faith in that. Either way, I don't think you're going to be able to move on from Derek given the cap constraints you have, and moving on from Marshawn was a big part of that. We haven't really talked about that from a cap perspective. You're not only – so you're eating that cap hit for next year, so you're kind of breaking even from a cap perspective, but what it eliminates is $12 million that you could have pushed forward. And without that money that you could use to operate, to clear that $60 million-some-odd cap overage that you're going to have, the only real option, in my opinion, is to restructure Derek and move that cap hit forward so that – you don't have to restructure everybody else on the roster.
Yeah.
So, by and large, you're going to have to go into next season with a similar roster. You're going to make a lot of draft picks. You're going to have young players. But the core is going to be the same. So, if Darren finds a way to get this team locked in and wins some games down the stretch of the season, I think you have to seriously consider it. So, you know, that's why, like, this is an audition. You know, we talked about Dan Campbell earlier. You know, does Dan Campbell get that job with the Lions if he doesn't have that experience as the interim in Miami? Probably not.
Right, it paid off years later. It took a little time.
He wasn't a hotshot offensive coordinator. He's a tight ends coach and the assistant head coach. Like,
right.
I don't think you get that opportunity if you're not in that role. And so that's what Darren should be looking at here and saying, hey, how can I create a scenario where I am the talked about offensive coordinator, or I'm sorry, the talked about head coach candidate. And he does have that charisma, you know, the beginning of the word Riz, to get people on his side. And people are bought in. I think this team is bought in. Now, that only goes so far when you're missing the number of pieces the Saints are missing. But I do think you're going to see a bought-in team today.
You mentioned a lot about Derek Carr. We'll hear from him after the first break. Right now, though, we're going to check in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. And we need some energy, so we're going to go down under, Jeff. And that means Tony down under, how you been doing, man? How you feeling about today's game against those hated Dirty Birds?
What's up, man?
How are you, Steve and Jeff? I get to see the game today, and I was listening to you earlier on about draft picks. I don't care about draft picks, but the worst thing that can happen is being swept by the Dirty Birds. That can't happen, not in our house.
No, we're right there with you, Tony. And obviously, you think about the draft stock for this team. And at the end of the year, you think about the positioning, where they could end up. But nothing sweeter than beating the Falcons. And especially, like you mentioned, too, you've already lost that game in Atlanta to them. You can't get swept. That's the last thing you want to see on social media is Falcons fan gloating the rest of this year.
Yeah, and the only ring they'll ever have is a burger ring.
Say that again.
The only ring that the Dirty Birds will ever have is a burger ring. Not like the Saints, we've got the Super Bowl.
Gotcha, I gotcha. Yeah, no, I mean, it would be very, I don't know. I just think you just got to end this losing streak, man. Like, you got to find a way to do it. And, you know, I feel like this is that matchup where, you know, it doesn't really matter what the records are for the teams. Like, that's the
there
cliche.
You go, exactly.
Like, throw the records out when these two teams meet up. And unfortunately for the Saints, they basically have opposite records, right? The Falcons are 6-3. The Saints are 2-7. You don't want to. I don't care how bad your season is. You don't want to watch the Falcons win the division. And you know, the Bucs are struggling. You know, the reason the Falcons, in my opinion, are running away with this division is not because they went into the season as the best team, because they're the healthy team. You know, you look over at what's happened to the Bucs without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and even a guy like Jamel Dean is a really big part of what they do on defense. And you know, and obviously the Saints are without, gosh, half their roster, it feels like, at all times. Although you will be getting Will Harris back, so I think he'll start today, and we'll see how that goes. Maybe that'll help you on the back
end. And on the men, big time, is center Eric McCoy, which is huge.
Yeah, we saw him at practice this week for the first time. It looks like he's going to be back sooner rather than later. Like, I expect to see him push to be on the field next week.
Now, you sound like Sean Payton saying that sooner
rather
than later.
Well, I mean, like, it's tough because you don't know exactly. You know, he's coming back from a significant injury. I think a lot of it is getting into shape. But, you know, he was limited in practice this week. He was listed as doubtful. He wasn't ruled out. So I think that kind of puts you on the fringe of, like, hey, can you be ready for the game before the bye? And I think that's a good time to come back for a player, because then, you know, the big question is, okay, you play a full game. How do you recover from that? And that would give him the bye week. So I would expect to see Eric out there next week. And, you know, you'll start to get some of these players back. You're not going to get Rashid Shaheed back. You're not going to get Paulson Adebo back. You're not going to get Marshawn Lattimore back. You're not going to get Chris Olave back anytime soon. Kendre Miller, which was kind of a strange scenario.
Yeah.
Sounds like if he wasn't on IR, he could potentially play either this week or next. He's not going to be able to because he's on IR. He won't be able to come back until week 13. But, you know, he's a guy that you'll probably get back eventually, and you'll see how it goes. So, I don't know. If you win a couple games in a row, you start to have some good vibes, and maybe you can turn this thing around to some extent. But we'll see.
Tony, I know you got one more thing down under you want to bring up. What's up?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the defense plays today, and particularly if they can stop the run, because they haven't been able to do that for the last 7 weeks.
Well, you bring that up, and obviously this Atlanta Falcons duo of Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. Man, Allgeier seems to have some of his best games against this black and gold bunch.
Yeah, I think Tyler Allgeier is my bigger concern than Bijan Robinson. And that's not to say Bijan is not a massive concern, but, you know, when the Saints get in trouble against the run, it's not these, like, 30 to 40-yard explosive runs. It's these 8 to 12-yard runs on first down where, you know, you're just setting yourself up to get, you know, a 10, 15-play drive to, you know, that's what happened against the Chargers late in the first half. They had a 15-play touchdown drive. And when you're allowing chunk runs on first down, things become a lot easier for you. But I do think that the Saints have been better against the run the last 2 weeks. Getting Pete Warner back was a big part of that.
The Chargers game was definitely a nice turnaround.
The Chargers game, I thought they played well against the run. I thought they played reasonably well against the Panthers. Chuba Hubbard, obviously, 72 yards on 15 carries, 2 touchdowns. But I don't think he's the reason that you lost that matchup. I thought they bottled him up reasonably well throughout the course of that game. So we'll see. I'd like to see them continue that and continue to get better against the run. That said, it's tough when you're undermanned on the outside, because you want to devote some extra resources. I think you're going to see Joe Woods get a little more aggressive today than maybe they did in week 4, and maybe they have over the last several weeks. Because I just need to get Kirk Cousins off his spot.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
I need to make Kirk Cousins feel some heat and operate under pressure.
As Bobby would say, can't be making a sandwich back there.
Right, exactly, right? You can't be like sewing a sweater back there, or knitting a sweater back there.
Which one should I throw to?
Because if you allow him to sit back there and pick you apart, he's going to pick you apart, right? If you get any pressure on him, then his life becomes a lot more difficult because he can't really move. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a little more slot pressure. Maybe you send the linebackers on blitzes a little bit more. And that's the question of, like, hey, what does Joe Woods like to do? He told us that, you know, the defense isn't going to change schematically all that much, but, you know, there's certain things that he might call more that he might like in certain situations that DA maybe didn't. And so we'll have to see if that leads to positive results or if it's, you know, more of the same.
I want to remind folks that New Orleans Saints have partnered with Seaside Events to promote the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. That's mingling with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Cruise. Make sure you go check that out online. We're going to take a break here on First Take. Be back with more. Hear from Derek Carr right after this on WWE.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WL, welcome back into First Take. And Jeff, we have got some super big positivity on our Oakland Heart Jewelers text line. Love to see it. Sam, come on, guys. Saints have a player in every position. They might not be all pro players yet, but we've got to have faith. 10-7 is still mathematically possible, is it not?
That is true, but 17-0 was mathematically possible at the beginning of the season. We didn't talk about that, did we? No, I mean, like, you know, this team is going to play it out in a way that is like the idea that they're going to pack it in because, like, season's over. No, they're going to look at this and say, hey, and Foster said this on Monday when he went out to kind of address the Dennis Allen firing. Foster and Tyron, the two New Orleans guys, you know, spoke for the team in that respect. And he said, hey, if I kind of look at it like, hey, you lose seven games in a row, why can't you win eight games in a row? And, you know, that's kind of, you know, the pie in the sky. Like, you know, that's how I used to look at it. I was on a travel soccer team, and we weren't very good. But we wanted to have a travel soccer team, so we were on it. And we would lose every game by, like, 15. And that was always my logic at halftime. Like, they scored eight goals in the first half. Why can't we score eight goals in the second half? And we couldn't because we were physically incapable of doing that. But that's how I psyched myself up to
go play.
Got to
have the mindset.
So
right?
that's how the team's going to approach it. And no, I mean, like, there's going to be this assessment of this team. Like, they lost seven games in a row because they don't have any talent. And I don't think that's true. I think that they have a lot of good pieces on this team. Now, I don't think the depth is good enough, and I think that's something that kind of builds over the course of time when you don't hit enough draft picks and, you know, young players that you brought in to replace other guys like a Marcus Davenport. Like, you look at the 2019 draft and yikes. You look at the 2018 draft and yikes. Like, Eric McCoy is the only player from both of those drafts that's on the roster at this point, and he's been out. So you could see, like, the 2018 and 2019 drafts, you don't have a single player active from those drafts today. And that can't happen. And that's that's how you end up in a situation where it's like, yeah, the injuries are tough. The injuries are overwhelming to pretty much any team in the NFL. But it's even worse when the players you have behind them are not guys that you feel like are going to step in and develop into starters, right? You're calling up guys off the practice squad and you're just trying to figure it out. And so that's where I think the Saints have had problems, is behind the front line. Like, I think on the front line, like, and that's why you watch training camp. And you come away thinking, hey, this team has a chance because the first 11 offense, the first 11 on defense, that team's good enough to win. Now, you get to the second and third string.
There's
and,
a significant drop.
And it's not good enough to win.
Yeah.
And so those are the teams that I think have the most success over an extended period of time are the ones that, Pete Werner goes down, Caden Ellis steps in. right? And suddenly Caden Ellis is a starting player for another team. Like, you really haven't had that this year. Like, look around this roster and point to the players that got an opportunity, and now you're like, oh, that guy could be something in a couple years. You haven't really had that. And so to me, that's the issue. Not so much having talented players, is having kind of a pipeline of young developing players. And that's why you don't want to ever have to be in a situation where trading your star cornerback is the best option. But that is exactly where the Saints are in. You need to develop young talent. You need to get that young talent, first of all. And how you do that is you accumulate draft picks and you make those picks and you bring them in and you coach them up and you have good quality players. And so I agree with Sam in that sense. Like, I don't think the issue is that you don't have talent. The issue is that the depth has not been good enough. And, you know, as you get some of these players back, I think you'll be more competitive. And I think that's going to be the case today.
Trying to get a feeling on how this black and gold bunch is right now. No head coach, Dennis Allen fired. You get rid of Marshawn Lattimore in a trade, get some draft picks back. Derek Carr, the quarterback of this black and gold team, was asked, how is the team feeling?
Our backs are against the wall, literally. And it sucks. We put ourselves there. But we are trying our best. You know, we are to put our, we're every day. You know, I come in here early and there's guys in here early. I stay late and there's still like a whole bunch of guys in their meeting rooms and guys on the practice field afterward. And so there's a lot of guys trying to do the right thing. Like, the feeling was, no, we're going to, you know, whoever's next on the schedule, like, you know, they got to be ready for a fight. You know, we're not just going to lay down and, you know, die. We're not just going to lay down and, you know, let it happen. You know, you got to fight back.
That fight continues on today into a matchup that is a must-win for this black and gold team. If, you know, to just restore some positivity after a 7-game skid, plus it's against your division rivals. Unfortunately, Derek Carr has got plenty of experience with this mid-season coaching change,
yes,
having been with the Raiders, and he was asked, can anything positive come from a coaching change halfway through the season?
When you started hearing the rumblings that it might happen, I was like, whatever. We didn't know who it was going to be yet. And I said, well, whoever it is, it just, whatever it was, whether it was good or bad, it doesn't matter. It just has to be different. You know, when you come in the building on Wednesday, it has to feel different. There has to be a new energy because you go however many in a row that it hasn't gone well, something that Wednesday has to feel different. And this Wednesday felt different. And it just, in my experience, when it feels different, does it result in wins and all that kind of stuff right away? No, but it usually results in good results down the road. And our plan is to make the good results now, obviously. But whatever it is, the feeling of the building, the feeling, the energy, the schedule, whatever, you have to start doing stuff differently, you know. And he said, look, we got to do something different. And we all have to buy into that. And we bought into it. And when that happens, just in my experience, that usually is a good thing. I've been around some times where someone has to step in or something, it kind of just stays the same. And it's like, you kind of, with the older players, they're like, what are you offering? You know, me, that some kind of hope, you know, that it can be different results wise, you know. So just in my experience, like, if you come in with something different and a plan that points to winning, that, you know, guys are used to seeing, like, and we've all had spurts where we've won in our career and you look at it and you're like, that reminds me of that, you know, and that kind of gives you hope back about it.
Derek Carr there talking about the coaching change and things feeling different. Well, what's been different with Coach Rizzi now leading the way? He also has a follow-up in this answer when asked about the activation period.
Well, definitely practice was different. The time that we're out there, the intensity of what we're doing and how we're doing it, and there's no wasted minute of the day. You know, like, I mean, the schedule, you know, the rest he's allowing us to get, and his big thing, I think, is for us to feel fresh on Sundays. Just if I'm looking at it as a veteran player, how he's putting the schedule, the mental reps, you know, especially as you get later in the season, you know, his answer isn't just to continue. Because I've had coaches on both sides, and I've seen it work and not work on both ways. You know, there's some coaches that think, you know, if it's not working, well, we got to do more physically. And then his mindset is, we're going to still do the physical, but I need more mentally. Because, you know, the discipline of the penalties, the discipline of the mental errors, you know, so far for us as a team, that could be better. And so for him, you know, us being a better mental, tough and mental aware football team, I think was definitely evident to me in what he's trying to produce in us.
Derek, just something about the activation period, excuse me, that he added. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about what you feel in terms of the impact of having that?
Yeah. So, everyone's different. You know, we, you know, sometimes, you know, coaches have different schedules and different things, but his thing today was like, everyone is going to activate and we're going to do it together And it's not just the stretch period, but this is like an activation beforehand because, you know, we know, I mean, it's no secret we've had a lot of crazy injuries, you know, this season. So he was like, I'm going to do my best to make sure that we're better at that. And that was his kind of stamp. And he did some other things that I don't know if he told you all, so I'm not going to say them. You know, for us to make sure that we are physically ready to hit practice running. And hopefully by doing that and the way he's doing the schedule and different things that we're so fresh on Sundays that we feel great, you know, and hopefully that number, you know, stays down or goes down.
Saints quarterback Derek Carr there talking. And yeah, the activation period, Wonder Twin Powers activate. It's basically, we heard from Rizzi saying, it's just a fancy term for, say, warm up.
Yeah, and in warming up, doing the things that you need to be doing, right? Like, and I think that's the difference of, you know, certain position groups are going to warm up a little differently because of the activity that you are going to be doing is specific, right? Like, offensive linemen don't need to warm up the same way as a wide receiver and vice versa. So I think that's the idea, is you're just kind of being a little bit more scientific about it. And, you know, we'll see if that helps over the course of the rest of the season. But no, I mean, Derek does understand this process, right? He and Foster were both in Oakland. Was it Oakland or Vegas? I can't remember at that point. But they were both there in 2021 when John Gruden stepped down and Rich Bisaccia took over, and they ended up winning four of their final five games, went to the playoffs, lost in the first round of the Bengals. Bengals went on to the Super Bowl. So, you know, they like Foster, and again, Foster was there at LSU when Ed Orgeron took over. And so, you know, these guys know that, hey, this doesn't have to go poorly. This can go well. Like, you can turn things around when you have kind of this, you know, this positive break in energy. But you got to win games, right? Like, if they go out and lose their next three games, we're going to be talking about this situation just as negatively. Like, oh, well, you changed where you practice. I can't believe that didn't work. So we'll have to see.
You mentioned a break in the energy. Well, we're going to take a break here on First Take, gearing up for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff coming up with the Cajun Cannon in just 20 more minutes than the kickoff in the Caesar Superdome between the Saints and the 6-3 Falcons, the Dirty Birds leading the division right now, gearing up with Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister on the call, and Jeff Nowak on the sidelines. We're going to take a break and be back with more First Take, though, right here on WWL after this. Getting closer to the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff coming up with the Cajun Cannon, 10 a.m. leading up to game time in the Caesar Superdome against those dirtiest of birds, high noon. Jeff Nowak on the sideline, Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes in the booth with the call. And someone that, you know, we haven't really talked about that knows Darren Rizzi, the interim head coach now of the Saints, pretty well. Blake Groupie, obviously a special teams guy, the place kicker of the black and gold, and was asked what he's seen out of the personality of Darren Rizzi.
He was the coach that gave me my opportunity, and you know, he's worked with me through a lot going over the, you know, over the last, I guess, year and a half now. You know, he knows the stuff, and he knows how to work with specialists and get the most out of us just like everybody else. But you know, he's allowed me to, you know, work on things and you know, he demands a lot, and so, you know, the standard's high for us, and so that's, you know, that's what's demanded. So yeah, that's the standard.
That's what's demanded. So that's what's expected. I liked hearing that.
Yeah, you know, and Darren's a guy that, you know, he's gonna get in your face. Like, he's gonna be, he's not gonna pull punches. He's gonna tell you how he feels, whether you like it or not. And I think that's important. I think it's important to for players to know where they stand with you and to feel like you're being real with them. And I think that's where the Saints are gonna appreciate having Darren as their head coach. And as a media member, I appreciate the answers he's gonna give, even though they're a little longer. One thing we can talk about quickly here. They just flashed up this stat, and the Giants just threw an interception. They do better than anybody else. They just flashed up a stat in the Giants-Panthers game.
Oh, those
game.
Panthers.
And we just joked, like, hey, how are the Giants not going to score on this drive? I'm like, yeah, I think an interception's coming. The teams in the NFL, the top three teams in the NFL, with the most points scored after the two-minute warning. Number one. So after the two-minute warning in either half. So the final 2 minutes of any half of football.
Okay.
Number one, Panthers, 19. Number two, Giants,
wow.
17. Actually, that's backwards. Number one is the Giants with 19. Number two is the Panthers with 17. Tied for second. Can you guess who it is?
The Saints.
It is the Saints.
Wow, okay.
The Saints are tied for second in
the
NFL. In
those two-minute situations.
In total points scored in the final 2 minutes of either half. And it makes sense when you're going to look at how their games have gone. They have had a lot of drives come down to, you know, like the game against the Eagles. They scored a touchdown, a two-minute warning. I don't know if that technically counts. But a game against the Falcons, they scored a touchdown inside 2 minutes to go ahead. And No, that's just an interesting stat because you would think like, oh, that must be good, right? You must be good if you're scoring in the final 2 minutes of a half.
Not so much.
3-2-7 football right. teams.
Another thing with special teams, you look at last game, punter Matt Hayball, he reached a top speed of 20.19 miles per hour on that fake punt. That's brought to us by Next Gen Stats, the fastest speed by a punter as a ball carrier since week 10 of 2018. Blake Groupie was asked about the speed of Matthew Hayball.
If you every once in a while, if you check the film on covering a punt, you know, he'll get down there almost a little too fast. We got to, you know, pull back the reins on him a little bit. But I don't know what, you know, what kind of 40 he ran. We might have to ask him that. But yeah, he can run. I think that's whatever that, you know, next gen, 20 miles an hour or whatever. I mean, it's not easy to do.
And I saw, you know, your tweet, Jeff, popped up when I Googled Matt Hayball, and it says that he is termed affectionately as Australian Flash.
Yeah, I think that's a Rizzy nickname because of the Australian Flash. And we asked Blake if Matt likes that nickname, and he said he doesn't see why.
Why wouldn't you, right?
Most of the nicknames you get at this point are bad. So, you know, it's not a negative nickname, so let's go with it. Yeah, and I don't know how you're going to utilize that to your advantage, but it was a well-executed fake. And, hey, now that you know he can do it, maybe that opens things up for you. What teams are kind of have to, you know, when the opposing team is like conscious of you being able to fake it, then you know that makes it a little easier for you to cover on punts because they can't be as aggressive with your gunners. So no, I mean that was cool. That was like one of the nice things that happened in that game.
You mentioned maybe unfavorable nicknames. I remember when Traquan Smith was here, Curtis Johnson, the wide receivers coach, gave him the nickname Bullethead. And
really?
that's not a good nickname to have, Bullethead.
What was the meaning of that?
I think just because, you know, mentally, you know, he didn't really pay attention too much.
I never heard that one, but yeah, it doesn't sound good.
No, Bullethead was not a term of affection.
Yeah, not
sure.
A term of endearment. Put it that way.
Getting ready for this Saints-Falcons kickoff here at noon on WWL in the Odyssey app. I want to remind folks, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations now totaling $19,760. Taking a break on First Take. We'll be back. We'll wrap things up right after this on WWL. Back here on First Take as we close things out, getting ready for the Cajun Cannon to take things on the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. We have here, Jeff, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, a question we can answer before we leave. How many times have the Saints beaten a Kirk Cousins-led team? Thanks.
Three. The answer is three. They beat him once with Washington back in 2015. They beat him with the Vikings in 2018 and 2020. They have lost the last two matchups against Kirk. One with the Vikings, one with Atlanta. And if you include the playoff game, they lost to Kirk with the playoffs. That's actually Kirk Cousins' only career playoff win.
Oof, I was around definitely for that game in London where the Saints lost to the Vikings, and man, Jefferson had quite a day against
Double
Marshawn.
Doink, baby.
And that double doink game, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so Kirk has some experience. Now, he hasn't played this Saints defense. So
no, but I even know, even in the losses, he's had some pretty decent numbers against the black and gold.
Yeah.
Not like Tom Brady.
His first three games against Saints, he put up 300 yards and 9 touchdowns. So, yeah, he's got some pretty good numbers.
And you know what? The last 7 quarters, we have not given up a touchdown.
Cajun Cannon saying last 7 quarters,
Bobby's
no
here.
Touchdown. Yay!
Is that true? We haven't given against the Vikings? Yeah, okay. No, against Kirk Cousins. You're right. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
No, against the Falcons.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't give it up after. Yeah, they scored all their points in the first quarter against. All right. So
that's something we didn't even mention. That first meeting, another wild way this team found a way to lose is not giving up a touchdown, and you still fall to the Falcons in a field goal kind of game.
Yeah, I think if they hold Kirk out of the end zone again, I think they'll have a good chance today.
Want to thank everyone
that's
for
my bold prediction.
Tuning in to First Day. Jeff, have a good game on the sideline. You, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister starting that call. High noon right here on Odyssey app and WWL AM FM, WWL.com. Coming in next, though, Bobby Hebert and the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Thanks a lot, folks, for tuning in, and we'll be back with even more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Who dat?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.